All the glory is yours. We love and adore you. Oh Jesus, blessed be your name. Thank you. We ask that you enlighten us. Teach us the way everlasting. Cause our lives to come into alignment with your will and purpose for our lives. And all the praise shall be given to you. Thank you for a glorious service today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are welcome to our revival night. You are welcome to our revival night. I believe tonight is a night the Spirit of God is going to enlighten you as we prepare for prayer. Hallelujah. Now, within the next 40 minutes, I want to teach you on what the Spirit of God led me to teach you on diagnosing spiritual weakness. Diagnosing spiritual weakness. Diagnosing spiritual weakness. Very interesting subject that I want us to learn today on how to diagnose spiritual weakness. So now, first of all, what is spiritual weakness? Please, you need to pay attention to this because your life will never be the same in this 40 minutes journey in the world. Just keep the keyboard down, very, very down for me. Diagnosing spiritual weakness. Now, the problem of the church today is not spiritual death. The problem of the church today is spiritual weakness. Now, in fact, Satan knows that he cannot make any believer spiritually dead. Because according to scripture, you have crossed from death to life. And that's the eternal state of your eternal being. When you are born again, Satan can no longer put you into spiritual death because you are alive with eternal life, which is found in Christ Jesus. But we need to understand that in as much as Satan cannot keep you spiritually dead, he can keep you spiritually weak. Hallelujah. So we want to look at what spiritual weakness is. What is spiritual weakness? What are the levels of spiritual weakness? What are the signs of spiritual weakness? And what are the causes of spiritual weakness? Please, are you ready for something? Now, quickly, we want to look at what spiritual weakness is. Now, what is spiritual weakness? Spiritual weakness is a spiritual state where the believer lacks the spiritual stamina to do business with God. Spiritual state. Where the believer lacks the spiritual stamina to do business with God. Now, very interesting explanation. It's a spiritual state where the believer lacks the spiritual stamina to do business with God and live the Christian life. So, when as a believer you come to a spiritual state where you lack the stamina, the energy to do business with God and live the Christian life, you are spiritually weak. Because your spirit was made to soar, it was made to fly. When you realize that you lack the feathers to take that spiritual journey in your walk with God, you are weak spiritually. Spiritual weakness, on the other hand, also is a spiritual health issue where the believer lacks the strength to live the normal Christian life. It is a spiritual health issue where the believer lacks the strength to live the normal Christian life. So when the believer comes to a place where he lacks the strength to live the normal Christian life, there is a problem. Now, what is the normal Christian life? The normal Christian life is the standard God sets the spiritual tone every believer should live in. So, you lack the strength to do your morning devotion, there is a problem. You lack the strength to pray, there is a problem. You lack the strength to love, there is a problem. Because these are what God calls normal. So when the normal Christian life becomes abnormal for you, there is a spiritual health issue, and that health issue is weakness. I'm teaching good here. Thirdly, spiritual weakness is the inability to satisfy the Lord due to inadequate strength. Don't joke with this teaching. Spiritual weakness is the inability to satisfy the Lord due to inadequate strength and a status of fruitlessness. One more time. It's the inability, I think the sound is good now, inability to satisfy the Lord due to inadequate strength and a status of fruitlessness. Now, I'm going to give you an example. There is a difference between impotence, okay, and sexual weakness. Are you following this teaching? Impotence means there is no power at all to perform a sexual activity, to satisfy a woman, and to even make babies. So that's impotence. But sexual weakness means you are able to rise. When I say rise, I hope you understand the rise I'm talking about. You are able to resurrect, but the resurrection is not enough to ascend. I'm not speaking in mysteries now. So spiritual weakness means that you don't have the normal man ability to be able to enjoy sexual pleasure the way God intended it and to produce children. Please, are you following this thing? Now the challenge is that no Christian is impotent, but a Christian can be weak spiritually. And what happens to sexual weakness, or people who are experiencing sexual weakness, is that they cannot satisfy their wife. Likewise, when a believer is spiritually weak, he cannot satisfy his maker. Now, maybe sometimes, I'm sure you have heard that a woman left his husband not because his husband did not cheat, but simply because his husband couldn't perform. Which means that spiritual weakness does not always mean you have sinned, but the consequences of spiritual weakness can be terrible because it can affect your relationship with God. I'm teaching good here. So one of the challenges of spiritual weakness is that you cannot satisfy the Lord, and you cannot be fruitful and multiply, advance and increase in your walk with God. And one of the challenges about sexual weakness is what we call premature ejaculation. Instead of lasting for 15 minutes, you last for a minute. In other words, you can't run with God. You can't walk with God. You are the type of believer that starts praying and after 1 week, you lose it. You can't pray again. You start reading your Bible, within 3 days, you have stopped reading your Bible. You have a problem. I'm teaching good here. So the believer needs to identify what it means to be spiritually weak. Now listen to me. Though you are born again as a child of God, you can be spiritually weak. I'll give an example. Our own master in the book of Luke chapter 2, the verse 42. Now, examine the Bible. Now, this is not what I'm saying, but what scripture says about Jesus. The Bible says, and when he was 12 years old, Luke chapter 2, the verse 40. Luke 2:40. Now, watch that. Luke 2:40. The Bible says, and the child did what? Grew and what? Waxed strong in spirit. So what happens is that when a believer is growing spiritually, there is an effect that takes place in his spirit, and that effect is you waxing strong in spirit. Once there is something called waxing strong in spirit, that means there is waxing weak in spirit also. If there is spiritual stamina and strength, there's also spiritual weakness. Are you following that? So if Jesus grew in spirit, strong in spirit, it means a believer can grow either strong in spirit or weak in spirit. I'm teaching you here. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 24, the verse 10, the Bible says that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now, the challenge about life is not how hard life is. The challenge is the stamina you have built to face it. Now, this speaker here has a weight, but the weight of this speaker is not beyond me. The weight of this speaker is beyond my 1 year old daughter, but not beyond me. Are you following this thing? So if my daughter is trying to carry this thing and she's struggling, it is not the problem of the speaker, it's the problem of my daughter's strength. So the Bible is saying that fainting in the day of adversity is not because the adversity is strong, but because you are not strong. Which means every child of God will face a day of adversity one day. The challenge is not the size of the adversity, but the size of your capacity. I repeat, the challenge is not the size of your adversity, but the size of your capacity. That is what makes the difference. So for my child to carry this, she will have to grow and wax strong in her muscles. I'm teaching good here. So hear me, any challenge you are facing today is actually a strength problem, because others have overcome it. Every temptation you are facing is not a temptation problem, it's a capacity problem. If you cannot pray 1 hour, if you cannot read the Bible about 5 chapters a day, it is not a Bible problem, it's not a prayer problem, it is a capacity problem. I'm teaching good here. I wish I had more time today. So now, I want us to see levels of spiritual weakness. Spiritual weakness is in 4 levels. When a man is growing weak, he moves in spiritual weakness in 4 levels. The first level of spiritual weakness is unstable faith. So one of the first levels of spiritual weakness is that your faith becomes unstable. And Satan knows that the just shall live by faith. He knows when your faith is active, life issues will never become a problem. Satan knows that it is faith that makes a difference in a man's life. He knows that through faith, people subdued kingdoms, received their dead back to life, open the mouth of lions. He knows by faith people did exploits. So one thing he wants you to end up in is that your faith becomes unstable. And one of the first levels of spiritual weakness is unstable faith. If your faith in Christ, if your faith in the Christian life is unstable, you are spiritually weak. That's the first level. The second level of spiritual weakness is what we call the inability to exhibit spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are tools that God gave to the believer to help him in his walk in this life and in his walk with God. Spiritual gifts are tools that God gave to Christians to aid them in their walk in this life and in their walk with God. So if you are not functioning in spiritual gifts, there is a problem. And when I speak of spiritual gifts, I'm not just talking about me preaching and calling someone by name, the person coming out and I pray for him. That's beautiful. That's me functioning in my office and dispensing the gifts in that office. But every child of God also has spiritual gifts that God has given to him. In your business terrain, you are supposed to have word of knowledge to know things that happened. You're supposed to have discernment to know who you are dealing with, whether the person you are dealing with is an occult or not. There are some people, if you receive their money into your business will never be the same again. You need those gifts. And when they are not functional, it's a sign of spiritual weakness. You're supposed to have dreams. You're supposed to hear. You're supposed to sense. You're supposed to feel. You're supposed to have impressions. When all these things are not functioning, you are spiritually weak. Hear me carefully. If you are that child of God who easily forget your dreams, it's a sign of spiritual weakness. I'm teaching good here. So the second level of spiritual weakness is the digression. It's the retrogression. It is when your giftings are dysfunctional. It's a sign of weakness. In fact, it's a level of weakness. When your faith is affected, your gifts will be affected. God has multifaceted ways to speak to me. When my spiritual life is going cold, he speaks to me through a dream. I can pick it up. Some of you have been going cold for a long time. There is no gift activating, making you sense it, making you realize what is going on, that I need to go quickly on a 14-day fast. You have waited until everything is over, and now you can't even pray for 10 minutes. You don't see anything wrong with it. It's a sign. In fact, it's a level you are gradually entering into. Hear me? You must cry to the Lord that there is no functional gift in your life. You must cry to God. No dream in 1 year, no vision. The Lord did not speak to you. You did not hear the voice of God. You didn't discern the right spirit from the wrong spirit for 1 year, and you are happy. You need to cry. Listen, can you bow down your head for 1 minute? You want to pray and say, Lord, every gifting that is dead in my life, in this holy atmosphere, awaken it once again. Lift your voice and pray. Awaken it once again. You were the type that was dreaming. You were the type that was seeing visions twice a week. Suddenly, something has changed. You dream and you don't remember again. You dream and you forget. Things are going on in the spirit world, but you can't see it. Demons are orchestrating plans for you, yet your eyes are blind. Dysfunctional giftings. You want to ask the Lord to activate it. Oh Jesus, show us mercy, Lord. Rekindle that gifting again. Somebody's receiving your dreams back again. Your visions are coming back. Your spiritual eyes, your sensations, your impressions have been activated again. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. The third level of spiritual weakness is called retarded spiritual growth. The third level of spiritual weakness is retarded spiritual growth. You are no longer growing as a child of God. You need to understand that if you are not growing, you are dying. Anything that doesn't grow is dying. Any tree that is not growing is dying. Any child that is not growing is dying. Any living organism that is not growing is dying. I'm teaching you there. Retarded spiritual growth. And number four, the fourth level is no transformation. So listen, you enter the presence of Apostle Joseph Babalola, still the same. Any church you can ever go to, you will still not change. Any prayer meeting you are in, you are not changing. It's a sign of spiritual weakness. In fact, it is the final level of damage in spiritual weakness. Nothing seems to change you. You only hear something, you cry, and you worry about yourself for some time, you go back to the same. It's the final level. Now we just looked at what? The levels of spiritual weakness. Now, we want to see the signs of weakness. I don't have time, so I have to do it very quickly. Because I don't want to do part two. Next week is another one. Signs of spiritual weakness. Now, what's the first sign of spiritual weakness? If you detect these signs, you know that you need to back up immediately. The first sign of spiritual weakness is procrastination of doing the right things. Procrastination of doing the right thing. Anything that is evil, you do it immediately. Anything that is good, you postpone it. Check it. What I'm saying is a serious matter. You postpone your Bible reading. You postpone listening to teachings. You postpone prayer. You postpone watching a good video. But you don't postpone movies. Now, the Bible says in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 17, that anyone who knows good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, watch that. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, which means you know you must pray. You know you must give. You know you must fast. You know you must spend time with the Lord. And you don't do it. It says, and doeth it not, to him is sin. The definition of sin has advanced in the New Testament. Sin is not only lawlessness. Sin is knowing good and not doing it. I'm teaching you here. So when you begin to procrastinate any act of good or any right thing, it's a sign that you are spiritually weak. Number two, love for the things of the world. Love for the things of the world. All of a sudden, your love for the world is just growing. Nothing is pricking you that you have spent 6 hours on Facebook. You spent 1 hour, 2 hours watching people's statuses. 3 hours watching a season movie. No self-control. I'm coming there soon. Number three is what? Pride and blind justification of undisciplined status. Pride and blind justification of undisciplined status. I repeat again, pride and blind justification of undisciplined status. You know, sometimes when people see you to be a spiritual person, or people have a certain honor and respect for you because you're spiritual, and yet you know you are not advancing spiritually, there's a certain pride in you that makes you feel comfortable that you're okay. You justify yourself that at least I've been able to do 10 hours before. I've done 5 hours, even the 12-hour prayer, I did more than half of it, so I think I'm fine. That pride is a sign. I've fallen into that pride before. And you need to be very careful. You just want to justify reasons why you are not living a disciplined life as a child of God. You need to be careful. Number four, unreadiness to let go some characters. Unreadiness to let go some characters. If you've realized you've come to a place where you are unready to let go certain attitudes, that doesn't bring glory to God. It's a sign of spiritual weakness. I don't have time. Let's move to the number five. Private prayer time is diminishing very fast. The fifth sign of spiritual weakness is private prayer time begins to diminish very fast. At first, we were praying 2 hours. Suddenly, it reduced to 1 hour. Suddenly, it reduced to 30 minutes. Suddenly, it reduced to 15 minutes. Suddenly, it reduced to 10 minutes. Suddenly, it reduced to 5 minutes. It's just diminishing. And Satan is giving you reasons. It's convincing you. Your work is studious. Everybody knows I'm doing my master's. Even God knows I'm doing my master's. Now, what's the essence of having master's and you have not mastered God? No, truth be told, when you die, nobody honest masters in heaven. I'm teaching good here. In as much as on earth, it is very important. So make sure on your journey of mastership, you need to master your work with God. I'm teaching good here. Listen, don't trade your spiritual life for anything. If you realize something else is getting into the way, fix a new time. Find a way to fight to have your spiritual life back. Because this is a battle. It's a battle. Satan can help you, keep you busy. In fact, Satan can be okay promoting you, so your workload will be so strong and heavy that you don't pray again. He's happy. He can do that for you. Listen to me. It is not every blessing that appears physically that's a blessing from God. I need to educate you on some of these things. Some opportunities are traps. Or maybe you have forgotten that when Jesus was tempted, Satan showed him the kingdoms of the world and told him if he bows, he will give it to him. That means Satan has blessings. So he has some things he can give to a man just to have his bow. Just to have him bow. I'm teaching good here. Time. Number six. Less resistance to temptation. You know, previously you were running from temptation. Now you are walking into temptation. The resistance that you once had when it comes to temptation, you have just loosed that, losing the gap. Less resistance to temptation. Now, the things that you were afraid of, the sins you are afraid of, you're not afraid of it again. It's like playing with a serpent. Walking into temptation is like playing with a serpent. Number seven, no interest and excitement about Bible reading. Your excitement about watching Ghana match. It's more than 1,000-hour prayer. I'm teaching you here. Number eight, self-centeredness. Oh, this one is too serious. Check your life now. If you have become more selfish than you were, it's a sign of spiritual weakness. Check the decisions you are taking now. Does it favor you? Does it benefit you? Check it. Every decision you've taken so far, actually, who is it benefiting? If you have become self-centered, it's all about you. You are getting weak. It's time to give offering. You came with 20 CDs. You say, tomorrow I have a chopo. And the Holy Ghost is saying that drop 5 CDs inside and manage the rest. He said, no, I can't survive. That thinking of yourself is your loss. I'm telling you. The Bible says in the last day, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, it says men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. The man preaching to you loves God, though. So what I'm telling you is not a story. Number nine, lack of self-control. Lack of self-control. You know, there's nothing wrong with you watching a movie. The challenge about the movie is the content of the movie and the control of the movie. I repeat, there's nothing wrong with watching a movie. The challenge is the content of the movie and the control of the movie. If any movie in this world has the capacity to control you, and you know you were supposed to watch only one episode, you ended up watching 10. You didn't have control. It's a sign you are getting spiritually weak. If you had to continue watching a certain movie when you hadn't done your morning devotion, it's a sign of spiritual weakness. I'm teaching you something serious here. You were on Facebook and the Holy Ghost reminded you for devotion. You were still on it because there was something more interesting you were watching. What you were saying was that what I'm watching is more interesting than my interest in God. And that is also a sign that you are spiritually weak or getting weak. You see, these are the little things you ignore, which become seeds, Satan waters, and harvests certain things from you, which destroys you. Lack of self-control. Check it. If you are finding hard to control yourself in any indulgence, we call it overindulgence, you need to be very careful. You don't control your appetite. It's not by force you have to eat 4 times a day. I hope you're aware. You don't have control. You just have to eat once food is available. Even when you are full, you have to feel it. What evil is this? Lack of self-control. Tell someone, control yourself. Number 10, strong, irresistible appetite for sin. Strong, irresistible appetite for sin. Let me tell you something. Every human being in this world occasionally has appetites for sin, no matter how spiritual you are. But the dimension, the level of appetite really matters in this conversation I'm having with you. If you have realized Monday till Sunday, every day, the edge, strong appetite is growing, it is abnormal. Occasionally, every spiritual person will have certain appetites trying to show up his ugly head. But once it is very continuous, there is something wrong you are not dealing with. And it's actually a sign that you're growing weak spiritually. I'm telling you, every single day, waf your girl, Aden. And you see, let me tell you, Satan cannot tempt you beyond what he has seen you offering. I'm teaching you here. So, Satan always is watching your preferences, your tastes. Okay, he saw your former girlfriend, how she was huge and fair. Let me continue from here, because the kind of eyes looking at me now is not from God. It's not from God. I don't feel good at this time. Irresistible appetite. Number 11. Lack or no spiritual fervency. Lack or no spiritual fervency. Your fire is gone. Your fervency. The way when you heard Jesus, something moved you. I remember you, those times you were crying and weeping at the altar. Jesus, I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you, the more I want to know you. Oh, Jesus, more of you. Now sooner, what do my Jesus? Now sooner, altar. So, Jesus, it's all about you. Jesus, it's all about you. They say, oh, sorry, I'm not part. Next cafe, now I can't solve it. The fire is gone. Fire is dead. fervency is gone. Now the way you are serving God cries as though you are being forced to serve God. You were the first to come to church, now you're the last to come to church. Appetite is gone. Lack or no fervency. There must be heat in your service of the Lord. There must be passion. There must be a certain zeal. A certain joy we see on your face when you're coming to church. Now it's as though, it's like as though the Holy Ghost is fighting you to love Jesus. What is happening to you? Is someone getting blessed? What are the causes of spiritual weakness? So we have looked at what spiritual weakness is. We have looked at the levels of spiritual weakness. We have looked at the signs of spiritual weakness. Now we are looking at what causes spiritual weakness. Now, it's very important that you understand the causes so you can prevent them from happening. Or you can discern them if they are happening. Now, interestingly, the first cause of spiritual weakness is what many people don't actually know. It's called neglect or forsaking God. Neglect or forsaking God. I did a very thorough Bible study, and I noticed, you know, people just think it's just about fornication, which are all part of it. We're going to come there. But one of the primary causes of spiritual weakness is neglect and forsaking God. Now, you check throughout the Bible, the major two problems that God had with Israel that ended them up always in captivity and destruction was neglect and idolatry. Check your Bible. If God had a serious issue with Israel, it was these two. And many Christians have not noticed it. Now, come with me to the book of Judges, chapter 10, the verse 10 to 13. Judges, chapter 10, the verse 10 to 13. Are you there? Judges 10, 10 to 13. Now, the Bible says, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, now observe this, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God, and also served, what? Because we have what? Number one? Oh, you're not this class. What is wrong with you? Number one, we have? Forsaken our God, number one. Number two, we also served Baalim, that is idolatry. Now, observe that. Now, let's continue reading. He says, and the Lord said to the children of Israel, did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines? The Zidonites also and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, and ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of the land. Yet ye have what? Forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more. Now, come with me again to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, the verse 16 to 18. There are some serious truths I want you to see here. Deuteronomy chapter 32, the verse 16 to 18. He says, they provoked him to jealousy. With what? Strange gods. Are you seeing the seriousness of these two sins? There is no sin that provokes God than these two. With strange gods, with abominations, provoked they him to anger. Now look at verse 17. They sacrifice unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Next verse. He says, of the rock that begat thee, thou art what? Unmindful. You don't keep that God, your rock, in mind. Your mind is not full of him, and has forgotten God that formed thee. Hear me? One of the causes of spiritual weakness is neglecting God. Let's take one more scripture. Psalm 78, the verse 6 to 11. I wish I had all the time to read it because there's a lot to read here. Psalm 78, the verse 6. Now look, he says that the generation to come might know them, even the children should be born, who should rise and declare to them, to their children, declare them to their children, that they might what? Set their minds, set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commands. Next verse. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Next verse. He says, and the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Uh-huh. They kept not the covenant of God, refused to walk in his law. Uh-huh. And what? Forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Now look at the verse 11. And forgot his works. Forgot his works. Look at the verse 42 also. The verse 42. He says, they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. So one major problem that ended Israel in spiritual regression was forgetting God. Listen to me. God wants to be remembered every minute of our lives. I'm teaching good here. Yeah? God wants to be remembered every minute of our lives. He wants us to be conscious and aware of him. Listen, even when you are working, he wants you to be aware of him. You know, when you fall in love with someone, one thing that doesn't leave you is the thoughts of the person. And why are you watching me as if you have not fallen in love before? Everything you do, you are thinking of the person. You lose concentration. Someone says, man of God, how can I be in the office busily working and be praying at the same time? That's not possible. How were you able to think about the guy whilst you're still working? It's a whole mystery that we are yet to unravel. How you were able to multitask, to be able to make a place in your heart for the guy, to be able to break, check up on him. He calls you, you are busy, then yes, ma. Because hey, you are worrying me, I'm in work. Let me call you by, say, I love you, I love you too. Cut the line. And then he will send you a rose flower on WhatsApp. They just say, okay, cool. They just check the message. Then you also send him a kiss, kiss. You send it to him. All of a sudden, then after 5 minutes, you just say, ping, ping, ping. He sent you, I love you. Okay, cool. Oh, I don't like this thing. Oh. Suddenly, the person who does not have time is having time. So God is also saying that if you can do that for a man, do that for me now. I deserve the best. He is the only lover that will not break your heart. He's the only lover that will not break your heart. Somebody is laughing at the back. The old man said, "If you have to know, if you have to know, I can't so put time." I'm teaching good here. So listen, how you fall in love and think of the person, God is saying he wants to be part of your thought pattern. Which means that he wants to be remembered. Listen, you can train yourself to always keep God in heart and in mind constantly. You are typing, yet you have him in mind. You are on break, yet you have him in heart. You are carrying his eternal consciousness with you everywhere. Listen, this thing is a very powerful thing. Oh. Very powerful thing. That thing will keep you from sin. When you possess God in your mind and heart, there is a certain difficulty you have when temptation to sin comes to you. You know why? Because God has possessed your mind. You are so conscious of him as though he's present with you. I'm telling you. Neglect. I put some few notes here. Distancing ourselves from God always produces spiritual regression. I repeat myself. Distancing yourself from God always produces spiritual regression. So if you want to regress as a child of God, keep distancing from God. Keep forgetting him. Proximity to God always produces spiritual progression. This is deep. Proximity with God always produces spiritual progression. That's why we do our morning devotion, so we can keep him in mind. That's why we pray in the morning. Jesus rose up a great while before day, went to a solitary place, and there he prayed. The Bible says often in Luke 5:16, he often withdrew himself to a solitary place and then he prayed. Do you know what he was doing? He was cultivating the habit of keeping God in mind. Jesus never forgot about God. Listen, never live a day without having consciousness of God. That's why we read our Bible. When we read our Bible, we are getting conscious of God. When we pray, we are getting conscious of God. And this is a power that you will never ever regret. God loves you to think about him. Hallelujah. I'm teaching God here. Second cause of spiritual weakness is idolatry. Idolatry. We read the book of Judges, chapter 10, the verse 10 to 13. And we said there were two major problems God had with Israel. The first problem was forgetting or neglecting God. The second problem is serving other gods, which we call idolatry. Now, unfortunately, many Christians are deceived to think that they can never commit idolatry. But surprisingly, the New Testament mentions idolatry about four times. We see one in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the verse 7. Now, quickly give me that verse. Quickly give me that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the verse 7. He says, neither be ye idolaters. That's a warning to a New Testament church. Now, look at the verse 14. The verse 14, the Bible says, my love be with you all. No, no. 1 Corinthians 10:14. The same 1 Corinthians 10, the verse 14. I don't know who is there at this moment, but someone has changed something there. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, what? Flee from idolatry. Now, this is very interesting. There are about three things the Bible says we should flee. Two of them is flee fornication. The second is flee idolatry. Which means the same repercussions that comes upon you or consequences that comes upon you when you fornicate is the same thing that happens to you when you commit idolatry. He says flee. You know what it means? It means to run with the speed of light. Now we see again in NLT, 1 John chapter 5, the verse 21. You'll be shocked that this is in your Bible. So that anytime you think you are a New Testament believer, so you can never commit idolatry, you are only deceiving yourself. What is New Testament idolatry? He says, dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Give that to me in KJV. For you to see what he's saying, KJV. He says, little children, keep yourself from idols. That's the NLT version. He's warning us to keep away from idols. And in NLT, he says, keep away from anything that takes the place of God in your heart. What is idolatry? It is anything that you exalt in your heart, love in your heart above God. I wrote some few things down I'm going to share with you. Are you ready? What is idolatry? Idolatry is spiritual harlotry. Idolatry is spiritual harlotry. I repeat again, idolatry is spiritual harlotry. Anytime you begin to have an affection for anything or any person other than God, what you are committing is harlotry. It's like a man going to a prostitute as a married man and sleeping with a prostitute, cheating against his wife. That's the sin we commit when we love anything other than God. Well, the last time I checked, he says friendship with the world is enmity against God. You know what he called them? You adulteress and adulteresses. I'm teaching good here. Yeah? Now watch that. Watch that. Now, what is idolatry? It is a divine honor. Put that down. It is a divine honor paid to any created object. It is a divine honor paid to any created object. I'm giving you about 5 strong explanations. It is a divine honor paid to any created object. Now, number 3, idolatry is the worship or excessive devotion. It is the worship or excessive devotion or reverence for someone or something. It is the worship or excessive devotion or reverence for someone or something. So when we're speaking of idolatry, it's a kind of worship, excessive devotion you have for that thing. A certain reverence you have for that thing. There was a certain telenovela that came some years ago. That telenovela, no Ghanaian missed it. In fact, the Ghanaian parents, they didn't understand English, but they understood it. One time there was light off. My mother carried the television to go and look for a place where there's light to watch it. One house used car battery to turn the television on to watch that telenovela. That's what we call idolatry. People idolize that telenovela that they had to go all out to watch that telenovela. But we'll never do that for Jesus. Do you know what happens? Let me tell you something. You see, many of us don't understand spiritual things. Do you know that when there is a very, very heavy match like Ghana against Brazil, and it's a church service, and people sacrifice that service for that match, it offends God? People don't know this. It offends the heart of God. You miss a church service because of Premier League. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is the definition of idolatry in the New Testament. And I'm teaching you this thing. This is a serious matter. I'm teaching you something serious. Now, what is idolatry? It is a disordered love or desire for something that is other than God. What a definition. It is a disordered love or desire for something other than God. Now, we need to understand that idolatry does not only offend God. Idolatry destroys us. Prophet Emma's father was an idol worshiper. In the end, the idol killed him. The idol killed his father. The same idol he was servicing killed him. So idolatry does not only offend God, though, it destroys our lives. So whatever effect idolatry brought upon Israel is the same effect that comes to Christians. And one of the effects of idolatry is spiritual weakness. Any other thing you magnify other than God, that thing is a god. And your affection for that god other than the God of the heavens weakens you spiritually. Satan knows this principle. He knows this principle very, very well. That is why people are now today addicted to games. Addicted to Superbet and Aviator. Addicted to their phones. I'm coming there soon. Now, let's take some more. Are you ready for this thing at all? Now, in the book of Colossians chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible takes idolatry to the next level. I was shocked that this is in the Bible. Hey! Colossians chapter 3, verse 6. Now, you'll be shocked today. Please, don't forget what I'm teaching you today. The Bible says, For which things sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now, come to the verse 5. It's 5 and 6. I don't know why you're on 6. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Which means kill the appetites that works in your flesh. One of the appetites is fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and what? Covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Anything you covet from someone, anything you covet in your heart is actually idolatry. Which means if you envy someone's iPhone 15, that covetousness is called idolatry. I didn't know this was in the Bible. Covetousness, which is idolatry. If you want to have anything someone else has, that craving is idolatry. I'm teaching good here. So now, by this definition of idolatry, idolatry starts in the heart before the act. Idolatry starts in the heart before the act. So idolatry is more of a sin of the heart more than the sin of the act. And most of the time, the sins of the heart are more dangerous than the sins of the act. And how does idolatry begin? We said it starts in the heart. Now, how does it begin? It begins with, number one, craving. Craving. Number two, wanting. How idolatry begins. Craving, number two, wanting, number three, enjoying, and number four, being satisfied. So anything you begin to crave for other than God, you are on your way to idolatry. So what's number one? It starts with what? Loudly. Craving, number two. Wanting, number three. Enjoying, number four. Be satisfied. So it is a craving, wanting, enjoying, being satisfied by anything that you treasure more than God. Let's finish with these two. Okay, now are you ready? Now, idolatry, interesting definition here, is the act of loving too much what ought to be loved less. Idolatry is the act of loving too much what ought to be loved less. This is a very interesting definition. It's the act of loving too much what ought to be loved less. So when you begin to love too much something that is supposed to be loved less, it is called idolatry. This is a serious matter here. Now, this is the icing on the cake. Are you ready for this? Idolatry is a thing or a person loved more than God. Idolatry is a thing or a person loved more than God, wanted more than God, desired more than God, treasured more than God, and enjoyed more than God. This is the icing on the cake. Idolatry is a thing or person loved more than God, wanted more than God, desired more than God, treasured more than God, and enjoyed more than God. This is the best definition of idolatry you can ever come across. So it's a person or a thing, what? Loved more than God, wanted more than God, desired more than God, treasured more than God, and enjoyed more than God. So anything you love more than God, desired more than God, wanted more than God, treasured more than God, enjoyed more than God, is equal to idolatry. Listen to me. Watch what you love. Watch what you enjoy. Watch what you desire. Watch what you want. Because these are leadings gradually, subtly into idolatry. Now, so an example of idolatry is loving your boyfriend or girlfriend more than God. You know you're supposed to pray 7 a.m. and the person called you at 6:59. You just find it hard to put the phone on silent or text him and tell him I'm in prayer because he'll be angry. You see, what's that count? This one's a serious matter. Any guy who be angry that you are doing your morning devotion is not worthy of you. He's offended that you are spending time with God before you get back to him. He does not love you. He has a problem with you serving God. This church too is too much. Why do you like church like that? Leave him immediately because that marriage will not work. This is your prayer. Prayer me. I don't like it too. If you know you want to be with me, choose me or prayer. Hey! And you see, you have secretly entertained it because you don't want to break him. Oh, prayer. You suffered. It's been 4 years, 3 years of singleness. So you want to end school with him. You want to graduate with him. And the thing the guy wants, he's wanting what is only given to God. That guy is an idol. And do you see how idolatry destroyed Israel? That's how that guy will destroy you. I'm teaching you. See, what I'm giving you is divine wisdom. I've prophesied your future before it happens. That guy will leave you one day. Listen to me. When you enter a relationship, draw the lines and the boundaries. Yes, sir. If not, you are setting yourself up for trouble. Let the guy know so he's not shocked. I don't come to your house. I don't wash for you. I don't cook for you. Can we agree? He says no. Then you say no. You see, you're watching me say, man of God, I can't. Meet me in Jano. You see, this is how come guys are using a lot of ladies like this. Listen. never ever think, I won't say it. You'll be offended. I won't say it. You know, people don't like the truth. Let's just continue. So listen to me. Don't make an idol out of a relationship. Did you hear what I'm saying? Never make an idol out of relationship. If you see some bad signs, it is the Holy Ghost showing it to you. If the person is not willing to edit them, edit him out of your life. Too many people have made mistakes because they want to accommodate. If I leave him, who can I get again? So people are accommodating nonsense in the name of I'm afraid to break up. Because when I break up, it always takes me 4 years. I may end up a doctor. I may end up a medical doctor. 7 years course. You see, when it happens that way, you don't understand the purposes of God. I'm teaching you there. Let me just move. Second idol is good grades. Good grades can become an idol. Have you realized in the name of good grades, you don't read your Bible again? In the name of good grades, you've stopped praying. And you are still failing. You know, you see, people think that God is a reason for their failure. No, you are already a failure long ago. It is God helping you. You just need to balance your life well. Listen, you just need to balance your life well. That's the problem. You don't take God out of your life because you want to have an A. The next point is the approval of people. It can be an idol. The approval of people. You want people to approve you. You want people to say good things about you. So you don't want to offend anybody around you. And that thing is soon becoming an idol. You just want people to like you. You want everybody to like you. Listen to me. No matter how good you are, not everybody will like you. Please accept that. It's something you must accept in life. Because first, I found it hard to accept it. Because I felt I was too good until I realized the people I'm good to. The things I will hear them say about me, I'm like, what did I do? And I realize it's human nature. Hear me. If you are waiting for the applause of men, everybody around you applauding you, you are living in the fool's paradise. Even Jesus, they call him a glutton. They call him Beelzebub. Hey! Look at the names they call Jesus. How much more you? Listen, don't seek for human approval. Be who you are. Be who you are. Don't seek for people to say good things about you every time. Me, I've just sacked my mind. If I have to blast you, I'll blast you.
Yes, sir.
Just make sure your heart is right. That's the most important thing. Don't let or wait for everybody to like you, because everybody will not like you. I'm telling you. I'm teaching good here. The next thing is ministry. It can be an idol. Many people are so in love with the work of God that they are forgetting the God of the work. They love ministry more than Jesus. That's matter. Some of you love ushering more than Jesus. You love your service in the house of God more than your service on the altar of God. People like that are always worn out.
Look at Martha. Busily cooking, serving Jesus, whilst Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, drawing. And Martha was overwhelmed, exhausted. He says, can't you tell Mary to come and join me because I'm preparing food for you? I'm serving, I'm ministering to you. Martha was doing ministry. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you worry about so many things. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen it. It shall never be taken from her. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Don't trade your personal relationship with Jesus for ministry service. Anytime you see me holding a microphone, I've spent more time with Jesus, more than the time I use here to preach to you. Even in my health challenge, I spend hours with God before I hold the microphone to teach. Those times before I teach 1 hour session on a Sunday service, I spent close to 7 hours. Last year before July, I was coming to church for 2 years, every day, 2 a.m. in the church premises. I'm there praying. I leave my home at Bowie. I come to church 2 a.m. to come and pray. Spend time with God before I spend time with the people. That's why I love to pray. Prayer is a spirit in me. It's living inside me. Listen to me. When you preach, you move men. When you pray, you move God and angels. When you pray, spend time with God, you move spirits. Yeah. So ministry can become an idol. Success also can become an idol. Your quest for success can take God out of your life. The quest to make it. Now, what's the meaning of make it? What do you mean by make it? This book of the law shall not depart from thy heart. Thou shalt meditate upon them therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. For by so doing, thou shalt have good success and prosper. So when we are talking of success, it is not outside meditation and obedience of scripture. So any success outside of a quality work with God is failure to begin with. So I don't know how you want to succeed outside of God. How can you want to succeed outside God? Who said academics makes people succeed? Who says PhD makes people succeed? Listen to me. According to the Bible, it is the blessings of God that maketh a man rich, not degree. Sports can become an idol. Sports. So you need to identify any idol that is taking the place of Jesus in your life and deal with that idol. Are you blessed at all? I think I have about 3 more or 4 more, but I'm going to stop here and continue next week. Are you blessed? Now, before we zoom into prayer, the ministers are going to lead us in prayer. I just want you to pray right now that anything that has become an idol in your life, these are things the church needs to address, because in these last days, we want genuine Christians. We don't want fake Christians who come to church. Everybody is seeing them praying in tongues, but in their heart, they have more than 60 gods with them. You want to pray and ask God, tell God. Maybe as I was teaching, you noticed that your idol is sports. Your idol is ministry. Your idol is success. Your idol is good grades. Your idol is a relationship. Your idol is money. Your idol is gadgets. You want to talk to the Lord and tell him to help you get rid of that idol, to bring you balance and the right perspective of not being sold out with idolatry.
Note that idolatry is anything you love more than God, enjoy more than God, treasure more than God, want more than God. What do you want right now, which seems to take the place of God? What do you enjoy today that seems to take the place of God? Some of you, your life problems are your idols. You have allowed life problems to hit you so hard. You worry so much that your worrying, your anxiety is now an idol. It has taken the place of God. It has clouded and blinded you from seeing God. Because you're always anxious. You're always worried. When the word of God declares that, be anxious for nothing. Get rid of this idol in my heart. I'm telling you, everybody seated here, one way or the other, has an idol. Do you see how in 24 hours, you use your phone for 16 hours? You have not noticed it. And out of that 16 hours, only 30 minutes was for God. The rest was for checking funny videos, checking status, checking Instagram, checking TikTok. And see how it has numbed your senses. Your sensitivity to God has been numbed just because of your phone. Just because of a movie, a season movie, a Korean movie that has taken the place of Jesus. You want to speak to God to help you. As I'm also speaking to God to help me. Lord, get rid of every idol in my heart. Some of your idol is your own spirituality. That's your idol. You magnify your spiritual achievements that you have been able to fast for 14 days, for 21 days, for 40 days. You've been able to pray for 5 hours. You've been able to pray for 15 hours. You've been able to pray for 20 hours. That's your idol. Your spiritual achievements can become an idol. And if you have no idol, tell God to keep your heart always in sync with Him. Because let me tell you, the Bible says, let him who thinks he stands stand firm lest he falls. Which means in every spiritual height or level you are in, you can fall. In fact, the higher you are spiritually, the more easier it is to fall. And the more higher you are, when you fall, your impact is great. You want to speak to God. You want to tell him that, Lord, please get rid of any idol. Get rid of any idol. When Rachel was living with Jacob from Laban's house, he took Laban's idols and left together with Jacob. But when the Lord spoke to Jacob and said, get ready, we are going to settle in Bethel where your fathers were, God told him, arise, cleanse yourself and go to the place of your fathers. The Bible said that Rachel, Isaac, took all the idols of Rachel and got rid of them before they entered that place. Hear me. There are places in God you can never arrive there when you have idols. You need to get rid of them. Some of you, your idols have become addictions. You can't stop it. You just don't know why when you touch your phone, you have to spend 5 hours watching things that does not edify. You have no idea what idolatry can do to you. It can corrupt your soul. It can defile your spirit. It can weaken you spiritually. You want to talk to Jesus. Maybe it's been some time. You've forgotten about God. You only remember God on Sundays. You only remember God on Fridays. It's becoming a problem. It's becoming a challenge. You want to talk to Jesus. The sin of neglect, it weakens believers. The more conscious you are of God, the more strength you harvest from God. You walk stronger and stronger in spirit when you are conscious of Him. They looked to Him and they were radiant and their faces were not put to shame. The Bible says as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered. There is a radiation therapy when your focus is on Jesus. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The moment Peter took off his eyes of Jesus, he began to sink. The secret to sinking is to take your eyes off Jesus. Maybe it's been 6 months, it's been 2 months, it's been 2 weeks, it's been 2 days. You have taken your eyes off Jesus. Your eyes now is on your salary. How you are going to survive in this year with a salary of 1,000 Ghana cedis, with a salary of 700 Ghana cedis. Now your salary is now becoming an idol and you are thinking, how will I survive? Be careful, because you are not thinking, you are the one taking care of yourself. Where was your salary when you were able to pay your rent? Where was your salary when you were able to take care of yourself? Where was your salary when you were able to buy clothes? Where was your salary when you were able to take care of your parents? Where was your salary? God will always blow your mind to make you understand that it is not your salary taking care of you. So stop worrying about the future. Which of you by worrying can add a single cubit to his height? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or labor or spin. But even Solomon in all his gloriousness, he was not even dressed like one of the lilies of the valleys. Stop worrying now, because your worrying can be an idol. You want to present every challenge. You want to present every idol to Jesus. That Jesus, these are my idols. If you are not sincere, don't pray this prayer. Lord, my idol is my phone. My idol is a telenovela. My idol is a series. My idol is masturbation. My idol is this sin in my life. Lord, burn it for me. I present this idol before you. Take it away and burn it. Burn it, Lord. Burn it. Burn it. Burn it away. My idol is my busy schedules. And because of them, I've not gotten time for you. Take this idol and burn it. Your idol is your academics. Your idol is your results. Your results have now taken control over your heart, that now they influence you so much because of letter A, letter B, letter C, letter E. Because of B plus, letters are controlling your heart now and determining how you should serve the Lord. How weak are we? Present that idol. That idol can be a habit that you have entertained. You have harbored this habit for 2 years. Bring that idol before the Lord. We love you, Lord. Just keep praying. We adore you, Lord. We lay our lives before your throne. We love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord.
We adore you, Lord. We lay our lives before your throne. None beside you, Lord. No other God but you. We lay our lives before your throne. Mede me unina mao Savoria Ese Fata Jimimre Nimikra Nimahondingina Famie Nia Wupe Midi Mi Hunina Ma Saforia Ese Fata Jimimre Nimikra Nimahondingina Famie Saphoria Esefata Jimmy Bre Nemibra Nima Wanding in a Famia Nia Whoope me de me Hong in a mouth Saphoria. Esefata Jimimre Nimipra Nima Honding in a Famia Nia.